The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
Welcome to the program. This is Mike Consul, and our guest is Thomas Liu. He is a partner and head of Greater China and North Asia Real Estate with Actis. He's based in Hong Kong. Who isn't these days? It seems like everybody I talk to over in Asia, they're based in Hong Kong. Thomas recently authored an article in Institutional Real Estate Asia Pacific, the headline being The Data Revolution. He makes the argument that it's time for real estate investors to embrace digital infrastructure. We're going to talk about exactly what is digital infrastructure and what ways does it need to be integrated or embedded in real estate? How do real estate investors wrap their hands around this? What are the advantages to this? So with that, Thomas Liu, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike.
And by the way, Thomas Liu's article appears in the September 2021 edition of Institutional Real Estate Asia Pacific. For those of you who want to read the story, I certainly encourage you to, but we'll be going over some of it right now. So Thomas, let me start with that whole question about digital infrastructure. What comes under the umbrella of digital infrastructure? Well, how would you define that?
If you think about digital infrastructure, it's really infrastructure that enables digital or data storage, transmission, processing as the volume of the data explodes all around us. And so you think about it there in terms of data storage and processing, that's naturally data center where all the servers are held. And when we think about the cloud, whatever you say, it's really the cloud is really data that's residing in this data center and being processed there. So that's one aspect of digital infrastructure. The other ones are would include the fiber networks, whether it's the cable to the home or it is a subsea cable that linking, you know, between continents and countries. These are the network that enables data to be transmitted very, very quickly, light speeds, really, to between people and then between the data centers. And then lastly, you have the mobile phones that we're carrying. The other transmission that more increasingly being used is the mobile and transmission through the air. So you have network towers, mobile towers, that has clearly evolved very quickly. And as country embraces new transmission method like 5G, there'll be huge investments that needs to be upgraded from existing towers to future 5G towers. So these are all categories of digital infrastructure that we're talking about.
So when you say it's time for real estate investors to embrace digital infrastructure, talk about what that looks like. Are we talking about investors or managers who own a portfolio of buildings and what they need to do is start spending money on integrating the digital infrastructure into those buildings, making them higher end and giving them greater capability? Is that the idea or are you suggesting something else?
I'm suggesting something else here. I think certainly for even traditional real estate, there are more and more internet-enabled prop tech that everyone needs to embrace for buildings to be managed more efficiently, and for all that, and that will improve income for the traditional real estate. But that's not what we're talking about here. That's what you know everyone needs to do just to stay in the ahead of the market and be the next generation of buildings. But what we're talking about here is investing into the digital infrastructure itself. And when we're thinking from a real estate investor perspective, perhaps the subsea, certainly the network cables and the towers. Are going to be more difficult because these are not really hard assets that real estate investors look to, not bricks and mortars. But the one sector that could more easily fit into the real estate sort of mindset and real estate thinking is data center, because that is a brick and mortar. You have the land that the building sits on, you have the shell and core, the tower of the building, and then the facilities infrastructure inside. So that's really a sector that many real estate investors have already embraced, like ourselves and some many others. But it's still early days, I think, for real estate investors to think about data center as a sector for them to invest in.
So how does digital infrastructure fit into a real estate portfolio? Does it literally go in a real estate portfolio, or what about an infrastructure sleeve within a portfolio? How does that work? Because I know sometimes people take infrastructure and they put it in a real estate portfolio, or something that could be considered real estate, say data centers, moved into an infrastructure portfolio, maybe just because there's money available there. I don't know. But how do you see it fitting into a real estate portfolio?
Well, I think if you look at the data, let's use data center as an example. It fits the real estate investment from a risk return profile. It fits into the portfolio very very well, because at the end of the day, data center is an industrial type building, and that delivers a long term steady yield of income when it's completed and leased out to the users, to the customers, and that's what really what real estate investors, what are they investing in, an office building or a hotel or a logistic warehouse, which is another very popular type of industrial assets that real estate investors have embraced. So data center is almost like an extension of that. If you think about it, the logistic warehouse sector for this industrial type of real estate. So if you think about that, a data center as part of a real estate portfolio, balancing out investing in commercial real estate and in industrial real estate, adding on to the exposure into logistic warehouse, it works out to be a very well balanced portfolio for a real estate fund.
So where are the best opportunities in this category when you talk about digital infrastructure? What are the best opportunities?
In the data center right now, it's still in a very early stage of development. And so if you look at the scale of growth compared to all the traditional type of real estate, which are in a much more mature state and have growth that basically trending the economic general GDP growth and so it's a very mature state. But then data center as a new asset class, it's still seeing double-digit growth, even in the more mature market in the U.S. and Europe. And then if you look at the more developing markets, like in Asia, even some of the more established markets in Asia, like Hong Kong, Singapore, and Tokyo, we're seeing high double-digit growth in demand for data center space. And then once you go into the more developing part of Asia, like Greater China, even we're seeing in South Korea and certainly India, the growth is going to be exponential growth over the next few years, because the level of infrastructure that's in place in these markets, I think the numbers we can compare is in the U.S. in terms of data center capacity, I think the number is 15 kilowatt per capita in the U.S. right now. The number in Korea today is about 5, and then China is about 1, and then everywhere else in Asia is in decimals. And so just look at that scale of difference, the catch up that these countries need to make. And all these countries are going through the same type of digital revolution when people are adopting the high speed internet, the 5G network for mobiles. And so the use of data and the storage, the need for data storage and processing is going to have the same level of growth that the US and Europe have seen. So just to catch up to that capacity, we're going to see huge exponential growth in the next few years. So that's really the opportunities for real estate investors or any real estate infrastructure investor that can take advantage of in these markets.
Okay, so front and center, data centers. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. With the chip shortage going on right now, how is that impacting data centers? Has there been a slowdown in their ability to field servers because there aren't not enough semiconductors available? Has that been the case? Like what's happened in automobiles and some other aspects, or are computer chips so prevalent that it hasn't that those are actually quite available?
It is hitting from some of the markets that we have seen, and when we're talking to other data center established operators, it has had some short-term impact on where the customers. So the customers for data centers are primarily what we call the hyperscalers, the companies like Microsoft, Amazon Web Service, Google, Facebook, those companies that need to have the processor and have the servers in the data center. Now, those take up has been impacted a little bit in the short term by the shortage of chips. But this, you know, it's expected the shortage of chips, you know, is due to the supply chain impact, of course, of COVID because of the COVID situation. So this is anticipated to be a short-term phenomenon. In the long term, you know, supply chain and we'll catch up to the demand and we'll back to normal. But fundamentally, the demand for the data is not changing. So the chips will just have to catch up to that demand at some point when the supply chain situation improves.
Yeah, they're working on it, but they supposedly it may take a couple of years before they can actually catch up, according to the CEO at Intel. But that's one man's opinion, but very well informed opinion, I'd say. So let me ask you this: probably a year ago, I had a couple of guys on who made the argument that data centers have moved from a niche member of a portfolio to center stage, they've become so big, the need is so great, the data is just proliferating, there seems to be no end in sight, and there's a huge opportunity to invest in data centers, and it's not a niche play anymore, it's right at the heart of that portfolio, that real estate or infrastructure portfolio. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. If you think about from a real estate investor perspective, the whole digital revolution, the first sector that became a mainstream to real estate investor earlier was logistic warehouse. Because logistic warehouse became a mainstream really over the last maybe decade and a half as all institutional investors embraced logistic warehouse. But really, the need for the logistic warehouse was because of the e-commerce and the digital revolution at that time. And it's created this huge demand for warehousing. And that sector has now become a must for anyone investing in real estate. And then data center is now coming on, becoming that mainstream sector as well, as investor gets to become more familiar with data center and more comfortable with developing and owning and operating data centers.
So what would you say to the person who says, you know, I'd like to invest, but the one thing that gives me pause is that these things are energy hogs. They use tremendous amounts of energy, and they've kind of come under some criticism about just draining the grid. And then there's other players out there that are trying to outfit the actual property with all the energy needs, renewable energy that's required to run the data center. How big an issue is it that they use so much energy? How common is it for somebody to build a data center along with solar, wind, geothermal arrays, whatever they need, to where it's like, look, this is a wash here. We're supplying all our own energy. We're not taking from the grid, and we've got it covered. How common is that versus building a data center, just saying, look, we're plugging into the grid, we need the energy, and we're not in the solar business?
The data center industry is moving very quickly to the latter, where they're increasingly aiming to access renewable energies for the increasing needs. So if you think about the evolution of data center, at the beginning, really, it's a migration of, especially for corporates, who used to house the servers in their own office buildings, and increasingly outsourcing, increasingly going to the cloud. And in that one, when you're migrating servers from traditional, more commercial buildings into a data center, that's actually a net positive in terms of energy consumptions, because the energy being consumed in a normal office building for cooling and maintaining the servers, it's a lot less efficient than you do in a data center. So with that migration, it was actually a net positive energy efficiency perspective for the use of data center. But of course, as the data usage explode, the need for data center and data center being so power hungry, it has grabbed the attention for all investors and for operators. So you do have the full range of people, ranging from the customers. So hyperscalers, again, like Microsoft, Amazon, and Google, have come out to say they've set targets for themselves to go to net carbon zero by 2025, 2030. They set a pretty aggressive targets out there. And then for established global operators, such as the you know, Equinix, Digital Realty have also come out to say that they are aiming to go not net carbon zero, but you know, to improve their carbon footprint and go to renewables as much as possible and set some targets there as well. To the other extent is for investors, because many investors like us and institutional investors have also set targets for sustainabilities. And so when we look at data center investments today, we're increasingly looking to locations where we can access renewable powers. So as an example, now there are exceptions. So for new data centers that are being built, for example, in urban locations, which is still needed, but in Asia, just an example for cities like Hong Kong, there's just no renewables in Hong Kong, but there's still demand for it. But then you can certainly balance it out by having data center in different parts of Asia, there are parts of Southeast Asia, and data center in India that have access to renewables. Within China itself, the access to renewable is limited in when you need to have data center in the urban center like Shanghai and Beijing. But you can have the big processing of data to be located further out in the western part of China where you do have easy access to wind or solar or hydro in those markets. So there's a balancing of that. And for a portfolio, if for investors, they're amassing a larger portfolio of data center, they can certainly use that to balance out the energy requirements for their portfolio.
What about accessing these opportunities? Talk a little bit about that. Are you thinking in terms of private ownership? Are you thinking in terms of public? You mentioned Digital Realty as an example. That's a REIT that owns data centers and very easy to buy shares, but are you thinking more in terms of direct ownership? Where are these opportunities? How would you advise people to access them?
I think for companies like Digital Realty and Equity, they are primarily with portfolio are in the developed market and all mature and stabilized assets. So those assets are very well suited to public ownership, because they deliver a very steady yield. So if you list as a REIT, it delivers a very high quality yield income to the investors. Now, in the more developing part of the world, like Asia, example, other markets we look at, like even Africa and Latin America, there are very few opportunities to acquire mature and stabilized assets because we're still in a very early stage of development. So in this case, the opportunity lies in you know, going through the whole greenfield development cycles, buying land, accessing power, and then building the data centers, and then leasing and stabilizing it. So this type of investment is more suited to the private equity type investments. For funds like a real estate fund, infrastructure fund, or private equity funds that are now interested in this space. And we're going through this build and development cycles, at least in the near foreseeable future. Once that cycle is established and once people have built a portfolio of assets, that's when some of the ownership can then transfer to the public ownership, whether through a public listing of companies we invest in or a REIT listing of the assets that has been developed and stabilized.
You know, I know that one of the advantages to industrial real estate is they say, you know, when the market conditions are right, you can build it quickly. They can go up pretty fast. Are data centers that way as well? Because it is sort of a warehouse situation where you're putting a lot of servers in there. Obviously, climate control is a big part of that as well. But can a data center go up faster than other property types?
Well, compared to a commercial real estate, like a typical like office building or shopping mall hotel, yes, I think it's still an industrial building. But there is more lead time compared to the warehouse, then it takes longer. So if you think about the data center building, it is the industry lingo we use for warehouses is a shed. For warehouse, it's a much stronger shed. But the time for it to take to put up a what we call a shell and core of a data center is very quickly. It could, you know, for a building, as long as it's not in the urban center, which is multi-story, if it's a typical industrial building, it's the same time almost to put up a warehouse. Now, once you put up the sharing core, then you need you have the lead time it takes to fit it out with the power infrastructure, the cooling, what they call the MEP, the mechanical, electrical, and the plumbing of the system. But the industry has grown to be very efficient. So for an experienced developer and operator of a data center, once you put up the sharing core, you can respond to customer demand by putting up the what they call the MEP for the data hall or for part of the building with anywhere from a 4 to 7-8 months lead time, depending on which country you're in. And so in projects we've invested in, for example, we have done responded to customer demand and fitted out the data hall with the full MEP kit within 4 to 6 months.
So what about miniaturization? Is there much of that going on in the industry, Thomas? I'm thinking in terms of data centers maybe having a smaller footprint over time because the actual servers are being made more compact, they're being miniaturized. Maybe they become more efficient in terms of energy usage and run cooler. Do you have anything to say about that? And I'm not sure that I think these things are being put in places where the actual footprint isn't that big an issue in terms of price, I would imagine. But obviously, if there's an opportunity for more efficiency or miniaturization or smaller footprint, or to be able to expand within an existing footprint over a longer term, that's got to be a positive. Is there much going on in that direction?
Well, when you think about when you were talking about processing power and thus reducing footprint of need, that's certainly the case. And if you think the data center over the last really developed over the last two decades, and we've seen huge improvement in processing power. But at the same time, the use of data is also growing concurrently. And so when you think about the long-term contracts, for example, companies like Microsoft would enter into when they lease a data center, over the life of maybe a 10 to 15 year contracts they sign, they would probably go through 4 or 5, probably more changes of the server they use in a data hall. They would have more processing power over that 10 to 15 years contract in the same footprint of data hall that they lease. But it doesn't mean they reduce the need for data hall because the need for data is continuing to increase. So as they increase their processing power and I guess power needs per unit of data process, they still need more space. They still need the same space, and they're still growing into more space. So I think that's the demand there. The other improvement in technology, I think, is helping, back to the question of power consumption, is that the range of temperature that many of these chips can now operate at is widening. So if you go into a data center 10 years ago, you would maybe not as bad as a cold storage, but you do feel like you are going to a very well-cooled refrigerated space. But nowadays, when you go into data hall, the temperature tends to be now hovering in the mid-20s, and they can even go sometimes to as high as the high 20s. That's still
you're talking about centigrade?
Yes, sorry, centigrade, yes.
Okay, which would be about, 70 degrees Fahrenheit or so?
70%, yeah, that's correct. Okay. And whereas historically that could be, in the 50s or 60s. And so because of the wider band of temperature that chips can operate in, it's also becoming more and more power efficient for data center to operate.
So what about a red flag or two if somebody's looking to make this kind of a move, Thomas? There's always some things to look out for. So is there a red flag or two that you would point to that investors just need to be aware of before they make a leap into any particular project?
Yeah. Maybe I'll highlight a couple of red flags, particularly from a real estate investor perspective, because one red flag is that data center is, even though it has the land and the power sharing core, it's really a combination of real estate and infrastructure investment. So one of the red flags is the technology and technical know-how that you need to build a highly resilient and reliable facilities for the customer. And so we're talking about building a tier 3 data center. It means you have no more than 1.6 hours downtime over a year. And that's the resilience that no real estate investor, you know, have experience for. So you need a much higher level of technical know-how. So that's one red flag, and not many real estate investors appreciate that as they, when they first enter the data center space. So that's on the technical side. On the other side is on customer side. Now, real estate investors is used to having a much wider, you know, whether you're building an office or even a logistic warehouse, you have a huge range of customer that can use the same facilities. Data center, you do have a much large, you still have a wide range of users, but then the quantum of demand is growing, is highly now concentrated in the few, or I would say 10 hyperscalers in the world, and all the large technology companies already in developed market, they are accounting for up to 80% of all the new data center capacity being built. So you have a group of customers that is that you can go to, and that's all you can, and that's what everyone's going after, and they have very strong bargaining power. So that's a phenomenon that, from a real estate investor perspective, not familiar with, and something that they have to be aware of and be very mindful of when they are looking at which site to choose and which operators to work with when they're looking at data center investments.
Interesting. Our guest has been Thomas Liu. He is a partner and head of Greater China and North Asia Real Estate with Actis. He's joined us from Hong Kong, and I'm going to again refer to the article that we've been discussing. It's headlined "The Data Revolution." The subhead reads, "It's time for real estate investors to embrace digital infrastructure." And that appeared in the September 2021 edition of Institutional Real Estate Asia Pacific. You can find it, though, on our website. Search Thomas's byline, and it'll arrive very quickly. Thomas, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, Mike.